Speakers who have challenged you for years come to you now on the series The Chapel Platform, originating from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. These servants of God, presented on the Chapel Platform, have delivered biblical truth to help prepare Christians to serve the Lord. Soul Winning Conference is a time for those at Bob Jones University to reflect upon the need to win family, friends, and enemies lost in sin and in hell's grasp to a blessed eternity with our loving Lord who shed His blood, died, and rose again for us. Our speaker, Evangelist Dr. Jerry Savinsky from Star, South Carolina, delivered this, the second message of a four-part series, on Tuesday, December 6, 1983. His text is Matthew chapter 9. His message revealing the heart of a person seeking the lost is titled, The Compassion of a Soul Winner.
When Dr. Bob III invited me to come here and speak to you students, the very day I received the letter, I was so moved by the privilege of coming here and the awesome responsibility that I had to go soul winning. And so I called the youth pastor of the church I was in Michigan, and I said, do you know some folk we can go and talk to? He said, yes. So he and I went soul winning. And I led a lady to Christ. When I led her to Christ, I said, ma'am, what you ought to do, you ought to come tonight to church and make public your faith in Christ. Well, that evening, around 6:30, there was a pre-service prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. I was there around 6:30. I walked in the church and I saw this lady wandering around the auditorium. And I noticed it was a lady I led to Christ. And I said, ma'am, what are you doing here so early to the meeting? She said, well, I saw on this brochure that there is a pre-service prayer meeting. Now that I'm saved, don't you think I ought to go to that? I said, well, yes. I can't believe it. Well, that night, I didn't have no time to tell the pastor that I led this lady to Christ. And so the service started. And the pastor said, I don't usually do this, but I like to have a testimonial service. A few testimonies. And would anyone like to give one? And to my amazement, the very lady I led to Christ, she stood up and she said, pastor, the sacral name, Jerry stopped by my house and he led me to Christ. And she testified. And that night when I gave the invitation, she came forward and made public her faith in Christ. Well, I told her when I led her to Christ that you ought to read the Gospel of John. By the way, I do this a lot. When I lead someone to Christ, I encourage them to read the Gospel of John. And every time they find the word believe, believed, or believest, to underline it. I said, do that. Well, Tuesday night, she came to the meeting and said, Jerry. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I read the whole Gospel of John through yesterday. And I found the word believe, believed, or believest 88 times. Is that pretty close? I said, real close. I said, that's tremendous. The very next night, she brought her unsaved son and his wife to the meeting. There's a lady that was saved because God so motivated me by this opportunity of speaking to you students. Hey, I'd like to say this to you. I trust that God may stir your life, that you'll go soul winning as a result of these messages this week. Now, take your Bible. Please go to Matthew chapter 9. Yesterday, I brought a message on the convictions of a soul winner. Today, I want to bring a message on the compassion of a soul winner. Before I do, look this way. When I was a student here at Bob Jones, I faced the same problem that many of you students face. The problem is keeping a balance in your life. For example, it's a difficult thing to keep a balance of intellectual attainment and an evangelistic fervor in your life. There are some, look at me, there are some of you students, all you love to do is you love to study. You want intellectual attainment. And you love books. Not many of you, but there are a few of you like that. Then there are others of you, but all you are, you're all zeal. and no knowledge. Look at me. You are a dangerous person if you're all knowledge and no zeal. And you're just as dangerous if you're all zeal and you're no knowledge. I've told people across the country, and I'll tell it to you. We must keep our hearts warm for souls and our vision clear for service. And the way you do that is by getting in the Word of God, having the proper balance through study, and then by going soul winning. I trust God will speak to our lives. We may have this balance as a student body. Look at Matthew 9 and verse 36, if you will, please. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Anyone who goes to the Gospels and reads them will be impressed by the great love that Christ had for individuals. On one occasion, a very dear friend of the Lord's died. And John 11:35 says, Jesus wept. On another occasion, he saw a great city that rejected him as the Messiah, rejected his message, and rejected his mission. And when Christ saw that great city, he said in Luke 13:34, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen that gathered her brood under her wings, and you would not. Christ had a love for people. And this morning, I suppose, what we all need is a compassion for souls. Say, when I use the word compassion, I mean a deep, genuine concern for the eternal welfare of a man's soul. And how do you get that? Well, you must look to Christ. And I think Matthew 9:36 shows us what made up the great compassion of Christ. Look at it, please. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Number one, they fainted. What does that mean, Jerry? Does that mean when Christ saw people, he saw them fainting physically? Yes. But more than that, he saw them as they fainted spiritually. Look here. Our problem is this, students. A lot of times we look at a person, and all we see is a personality, facial expressions, and the way they dress. We don't realize that beyond the outward, there is an eternal soul within that person. And if that person dies without Christ, he will die, he will faint spiritually, and he will go to hell. In Matthew 5:22, Christ said, But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. In Matthew 5:29 and 30, Christ said, And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Here Christ spoke of hell as a real place. I met a young man in the state of Illinois a couple of years ago. I said, if you would die today, where would you go? He said, if I died today, I'd go to hell. I said, do you know what hell's like? He said, no, I don't, but you don't either. He got smart with me as he was smoking a cigarette. I saw a pack of matches right here in his T-shirt pocket. I said, would you mind if I taught you something? He said, well, what is it? I said, give me your box of matches. Somebody give me his box of matches. I said, now stick out your finger. So he put his finger out like that. I said, hold it still. He did. I got the match. I lit the match. I start going toward his finger. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to burn your finger if you hold it still. And I went right like this toward his finger. And he pulled his finger back, and you know, when a guy gets embarrassed, how he looks, you know. Face was red, and he said, I'm not going to stand here and let you burn my finger with that match. Don't you think that'd be foolish? And I blew the match out. And I said, look at me, fella. Don't you think it'd be foolish for you to die and burn in hell? Matthew 8:12, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Mark 9:46, where their soul dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know, students, do you think that when your loved one, let's say your mother, when she dies without Christ, that you'll stand by the casket and say, well, I was saved. Oh, I was afraid of offending mother. And mother died. She's gone to hell. But I'm saved. Do you think when your father dies without Christ and you're by the casket side, you'll stand there laughing and telling jokes and saying, well, I'm saved, but my dad, he's gone. He's in hell. But I didn't want to offend him. You'll cry your heart out too late. Students, if I have a compassion for souls, if you have a compassion for souls, then you must see people as Christ saw them. He saw them as they fainted. Go back to verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad. Second of all, he saw them as they were scattered abroad. You know, in John 6, our Savior fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. When Christ broke the bread and gave the bread to his disciples, they began. Now, I've got a wild imagination. Look here. I have a wild imagination. Can you imagine one of the disciples having a loaf, a little piece of a loaf, and it starts going like this? Well, and he starts giving it out and don't know where it's coming from. There's no end. And finally, all the disciples looking at each other, and they're giving the bread and fish, and it's still there. And so finally, after a while, they say to the crowd, they say, y'all want, but they probably didn't say y'all, probably said, you want some more? And one of them says, oh, man, I can't hold another crumb. No, thank you. I've got to pass. And they gathered 12 baskets of the fragments that remained. And all the people got up. They went back to the small towns and villages around the Sea of Galilee. And later on in John 6 and verse 67, Christ said to his own disciples, will ye also go away? He saw them departing from him, the very giver of life. You know, students, if I have a compassion for souls, I likewise must see people as they are scattered abroad. When I was a student here, I preached a great deal in South Carolina and North Carolina in chain gangs, prisons. One day I preached not too far from Greenville. And when I got through preaching this prison, there's a man, he had no shirt on. He had one arm cut off right here. The other arm was cut off right here. He was an alcoholic. He showed me how he held his arms together to drink a bottle. And I said, George, I put my arm around him. I said, George, wouldn't you like to give your heart to Christ today? He said, no, Jerry, I wouldn't. I said, come on, George. I said, why don't you give your heart? I know you're under conviction. I had preached several times there. He said, no, Jerry, not today. I came back to Bob Jones. 2 days later, I picked a paper up on the front page. George was killed by a train while walking on the tracks here in Greenville. I put the paper down and I said, I put my arm around that man 2 days ago. And then he began to walk away from me. And students, I can still see him in my mind with his head down, walking away from me. But more than that, he left Christ, the very giver of life. When I was a student here at Bob Jones, I worked one summer in Denver, Colorado, on the large grain elevator. And one day on Friday, a young man I worked with said to me, Jerry, I said, yes. He said, guess what I'm going to do this weekend? I said, what are you going to do? And all the filth of his heart came right out. And I said to him, I said, Charles, one of these days, your good times will come to a close. He said, what do you mean by that statement? I said, I mean you are going to die. This man looked at me, and this is exactly what he did. He put his hands on his side and threw his chest out and said, me die. I'm going to live to be 100 years of age. And I came back and said, you may live to be 100 years of age, but one of these days you are going to die. With that, he walked away from me. That was July the 24th. July the 26th. He was driving down the road in his car. He fell asleep at the steering wheel of his car. He ran into a concrete bridge. The top rail caught him right in the chest. Took him to the back window. Killed him immediately. In my mind, I can still see that man walking away from me. But more than that, he left Christ, the very giver of life. You see, our compassion not only sees mankind as they faint spiritually, but also as they are scattered abroad, leaving Christ, the very giver of life. But third of all, go to Matthew 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Third of all, Christ had a compassion for people because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Look here. Sheep have limited eyesight. They can only see 20 feet in front of them. Sheep have no sense of direction. You put sheep in a field with no shepherd, and they're easily lost. Throughout the Bible, Christ refers to people as sheep. And when sheep get lost, the shepherd, a lot of times, must pay a great cost to go out and reach that lost sheep. This morning, if God ever uses you to reach the lost people without Christ, then you must be willing to pay a cost. When I was in West Virginia, I had no intention of ever going to college. As a matter of fact, when I graduated from high school, I worked for the newspaper company in Fairmont, West Virginia. Had no idea I'd ever go to college, especially Bob Jones. And one day, though, I told God I'd go soul winning every day for 2 weeks. Well, a very dear friend of mine named Dot Summers, one of the greatest soul winners I know in West Virginia, is my dear friend Dot Summers. And Dot and I went soul winning every day for 2 weeks in a row. And one day we were going down the road, he was driving. We went by a lovely home, and all of a sudden I screamed and said, stop here. He said, what's wrong, Jerry? I said, Dot, I feel led of God to go back to that house we just passed on the right. He said, all right. We backed up his car. We got out, went to the door, and I knocked. When I did, a lady answered. I said, ma'am, my name is Jerry Savinsky, and this is Dot Summers. We are from the Fellowship Baptist Church here in Fairmont. And when I said that, the lady began to cry. She stood there, and she wept so hard. And finally, I said, ma'am, do not know your problem, but could I come in your home and take the Bible and show you how Christ can save you? She went like this. She opened the screen door. And we went to her home, and I sat down with this lady. And I took the Word of God, and I showed her from the Bible how Christ could save her. And then I said, would you like for Christ to save you? She said, yes, I would. She fell to her knees. She began to pray. Then she stopped praying. And she burst out and just cried. Then she prayed some more. Finally, she stopped praying. She stopped crying. She stood up beside Dot Summers and I. And these are the very exact words she said to me. She said, Jerry, while you were knocking on my door, I was already halfway downstairs to my basement, ready to commit suicide. Had the suicide note written. Had the poison laid out. And she said, when you knocked, you startled me. Then when you said you were from a Baptist church, I knew God sent you. Look here, students. I stood there. Now, it just took a second. It wasn't a few seconds, I'm sure. But in my mind, I stood there, and here's what I thought. I said, if that lady right there was ready to commit suicide, God used me and Dot to win that lady to Christ, then there must be a lot of people across America just like her, who's waiting for someone to come by and tell her how Christ can save her. And then I looked in the air and I said to my heart, I said, oh God, I'm willing to be that man. Students, I'm in this pulpit this morning because one day in West Virginia, I saw people as sheep having no shepherd. And God put a burden on my heart of not only just living the Christian life and going through the ropes, but letting God use me to point souls to Christ. What you and I need is a deep, genuine concern for the eternal welfare of people's souls. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We would ask that the Spirit of God would take this message and put a burden, a concern on the hearts of these students to reach lost loved ones for Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Platform. Copies of today's message are available. So please write us and send us a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Just mention the speaker, Dr. Jerry Savinsky, the title of his message, The Compassion of a Soul Winner, and also be sure to mention today's date. Please join us again for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.